Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Gabe National Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So the other day, I was listening to Robbie and Rex Road, and they had Stephen Holder on their program. And Stephen Holder covers the Colts for ESPN. Just like TD said, hey, he's as connected, if not more connected, with the Colts than TD is with the Titans. And anytime I have an opinion about any quarterback, the haters out there, and again, I'm smart enough to know that like two-thirds of my audience doesn't like me. I'm okay with that. But the haters, every time I have an opinion on a quarterback they don't like, say, well, you like Anthony Richardson, and he sucks. And no matter how many times I say this, no matter how many times I bring this up, everything Indianapolis has done with Anthony Richardson, I would have done differently. And yet, to the hater crew, it's as if none of it matters. And that what Anthony Richardson is today, which is no doubt at this point, he's a bust, would have happened no matter what. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe that if the Colts had done things differently, that it would be different. And let me throw in this. In the spring of 2023, when I did love Anthony Richardson, I put out there, hey, this is a project, and it might not work out. And if it doesn't work out and I'm the general manager, I might be getting fired because I am taking a risk on the physical tools that Anthony Richardson has and the development program of having him succeed. So, in all seriousness, if I was GM, I could be packing up my desk because I went all in on Anthony Richardson. And to this point, Anthony Richardson has been a bust. Now, again, like I said, the way that they've done it is not the way I would have done it. But for some of you people, you don't seem to care. But again, I was listening to Stephen Holder, and he was talking on Robbie and Rex Road about Anthony Richardson and how Anthony Richardson's problems are born out of ignorance more than anything else, but not the negative connotation of the word ignorance, the way that you think, saying that somebody is choosing to be ignorant. That's not the case. This is what Stephen Holder said about Anthony Richardson.
Anthony has had to learn some hard lessons because, and not because, you know, he's not diligent or not serious. I think it's more about just ignorance. And ignorance, people have a bad reaction to that word sometimes. I just think that just means you don't know any better. And I think that's a failure of his on his part and the organization's part. And so, for example, there's just an expectation with quarterbacks in this league that you're going to go over and above. And the problem with Anthony is that I think most quarterbacks today, most of these young quarterbacks who are blue chip recruits coming up, they grew up in a world where quarterbacks are groomed like pros at even the high school level. And Anthony was not like that. He went to his neighborhood high school. He wasn't at all the big national camps. He just was this superhuman athlete. And he shows up at Florida and they're like, oh, this guy's really good. Cause he grew up down the street from the campus, by the way. And so, yes, he ends up at Florida because he's a local kid. And then he ends up in this world where now he is part of that group of quarterbacks, but he doesn't know how to be that guy. Right.
Okay. He doesn't know how to be that guy. Not, hey, he's choosing not to be that guy. It's he doesn't know. And I was listening again in the last segment. We had that one caller that was like, TD, is it us? Are we, talking about the Titans, are we Trevor Lawrence-ing this whole situation? Again, screwing him up. I remember when Trevor Lawrence was scheduled to be picked by the Jags, and the Jags announced that when it came to their future, it was going to be Urban Meyer who was going to be leading the organization. And here are the Jags getting ready to take this generational quarterback, and I was sitting over there as a Titan man. Yeah! You get Urban Meyer! And the late, great Mark Howard tried to talk me out of it, saying he thought Urban would be successful. Trevor Maddich, and you know I love Trevor. Trevor was trying to talk me out of it, saying he thought he'd be successful. But I knew Urban Meyer didn't know what he was doing as far as the NFL was concerned. And I'm not sure if Trevor Lawrence ever has recovered from what happened to him with Urban Meyer. That's when I go back to Richardson. And after I listened to what Stephen Holder said, I thought, this is why he should have sat the bench. Again, this is Stephen Holder saying, it's not ignorance from the standpoint that he's choosing to be ignorant. It's he just didn't know how to be a quarterback in the NFL. That's when you sit the bench. Speaking of Trevor Lawrence, he told Anthony Richardson to protect himself after his first game. You know when the quarterbacks go and shake hands? After the first game of Anthony Richardson's career, he played Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence went up to him. After the game was over, they asked Trevor Lawrence, what'd you say to Anthony? Trevor Lawrence said, I said, good game, and just protect yourself because you can't take the hits you took in college. You can't do that in this league. And then Anthony Richardson went out, got hurt, and it was a lost season. Then Anthony Richardson had the tap out. And when he had the tap out, people said, he's a bad guy or he's a bad teammate. But a savvy veteran quarterback would know not to do those things, would also know to say to the media when they ask what happened on the tap out, make up an excuse. Oh, yeah, I thought I had sprained my ankle on that play, so I went to the sideline because I didn't think I'd be mobile for the next play. Again, don't say you're tired. Or if you are tired, get to the line of scrimmage instead of tapping out. Get to the line of scrimmage after the quarterback tells you, or after the coach tells you the play, get to the line of scrimmage and then go up there and go 53, 52, Mike 52, Mike 52. Timeout. Timeout. Don't tell anybody you need a break. But just call timeout. I didn't like the look they had. Again, that's what a savvy veteran would do. But Anthony Richardson didn't know to do that. Because, again, he was put out before he was ready. And that takes me to the Titans. And that takes me to Cam Ward. And that takes me to the question that was asked by the caller of, are you sure we're not Trevor Lawrence-ing these guys? Because anytime I bring up the idea that Cam Ward should sit the bench, I get yelled at and screamed at. How dare you from Titans fans, even though Patrick Mahomes sat the bench, Lamar Jackson sat the bench, Aaron Rodgers sat the bench, Tom Brady sat the bench, Brett Favre sat the bench in Atlanta, and then when he got traded to Green Bay, he sat the bench there behind the Magic Man, Don Majakowski. Because there are valuable lessons to be learned from watching instead of doing. And yet again, with Titan fans, anytime I bring up this idea of, hey, let's bring the young quarterback along slowly. Let's try to set him up for success, not set him up for failure. Let's let him watch Brandon Allen and how Brandon Allen goes about doing it. I get to, oh, no, Jared, you crazy. He's so good. Oh, my God. If Trevor Lawrence can be screwed up, you don't think Cam Ward can be too? Again, Anthony Richardson, the things you think about him, you guys, I see it all the time. You guys think that he would have been bad no matter what, and maybe you're right, but it doesn't sound that way listening to Stephen Holder talk. So, again, when it comes to Cam Ward, I'm just saying, are you sure that he has to rush out there and play right away? Or could Brandon Allen start at quarterback? And again, I would agree. I think they need a better quarterback to be the first guy. But would he be better off with Brandon Allen being the Kurt Warner to Eli Manning? Because for some reason, Titan fans are just convinced that there's absolutely no way, no how, that the Titans can screw up this quarterback, even though all the Titans have done since they moved to town is screw up quarterbacks. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. And I think it's easy to look back when you know the end of the story. And there's something about the Titans and some of the decisions they've made where looking back on it, I do feel like somebody didn't get enough credit for knowing the right thing to do. Explain, we'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 125 The Game.
Everyone asks me all the time around the draft, pre-draft, which of these kids is going to be the most successful? There's two answers. One, it's up to them. And two is, show me the people that are around them and are helping to develop them. It's not necessarily about someone's physical potential all the time. So much of it is about, can you retain information? Can you process it? Can you use the information? Are you willing to study and go through the intricate details of the game, like Drew Brees was, like Peyton Manning was, like Phillip Rivers was, like some of the all-time great John Elway was, some of the all-time great quarterbacks were. You could be very physically talented. You could absolutely go to the wrong fit and have a coach instruct you to do things that are almost impossible to do.
Right.
You can't assume that what these young athletes are being told, that every coach is the same. Some coach may have one perspective. Another coach may have another perspective.
There you go. That was Tom Brady talking about the development of quarterbacks, saying, I get asked in the draft, who's the guy, who's not the guy? And I'm telling you, it's more than just the guy's physical abilities. It's more than just it's who's around him, who's supporting him, who's helping him. And with the Titans, team's not very good. Defense isn't very good. I'm not convinced Callahan as the coach is very good. And I keep going back to this Anthony Richardson thing. Again, maybe it's my own bias that I absolutely loved the tools that Anthony Richardson had. I think I saw a scout say, think of Michael Vick with Brett Favre's arm. I would say this. Excuse me. Think about Lamar Jackson with Cam Newton's body. That's what I think you're getting with Anthony Richardson. He was never going to be the most accurate passer in the league, but you cater the offense to fit around him. Again, Jalen Hurts is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. But you build a team around him. And this entire thing in Indy, when Stephen Holder, who, again, TD texted me, and he said, Holder is insanely plugged in when it comes to the Colts and Richardson. And so when Stephen Holder is sitting there saying, like, Anthony Richardson, just he didn't know better. He didn't grow up going to quarterback school like all these other guys did. He wasn't. That takes me back to Shane Steichen not knowing what he was doing. But that's a first-time head coach who had no experience as a head coach. And the only quarterback, to my knowledge, at Shane Steichen had spent any real time around was Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts played 6 years in college, and Jalen Hurts sat the bench at the beginning of his career. And you think it's going to be that way with a 21-year-old who's got 14 starts in the NFL? That's just not how, or in college, that's just not how it's going to work. And it takes me back to where the Titans were 10 years ago. Mike Mularkey and his old pawpaws, they did not get treated fairly. And now that the emotion is out of it, and the story is complete, and everybody knows what's what, John Robinson, I think, made a terrible mistake when he fired Mike Mularkey. And at the time, they used Terry Rubisky as the scapegoat to say, well, he wouldn't fire Rubisky, and that's why it didn't work out. And I believe, again, that the New England Patriot way, they wanted it to be the Patriot way, period. They thought it existed the same way I thought it existed. It doesn't. It's the Tom Brady way. But Mike Mularkey and his old coaches, they knew football. They had experience. Mularkey had experience with J.P. Lossman in Buffalo, with Blaine Gabbert in Jacksonville. There probably was a how-to on what not to do as much as the how-to on what to do. And they protected Mariota. When they didn't have a great team around him, they protected him by handing the ball off 30 times a game to DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. And you all hated it. But they were protecting the young quarterback because they knew what they were doing. And Mularkey, this just wasn't his personality. He's never going to get up there in front of the media and say, well, the reason that we're doing this is because the quarterback's really not that good. In fact, they lost a game to the Minnesota Vikings. And Mularkey got up there after the game, first game of the season. And they lost to the Minnesota Vikings. And they were onside kicking, trying to get the ball back. And Mularkey said, hey, we feel like with number 8, anytime we have a chance to come back and win the game. Because that's how a coach pumps up the young quarterback, while behind the scenes saying, we got to minimize the young quarterback. And I think that that experience, again, using the Richardson thing, and we'll see with Brian Callahan, because Brian Callahan, again, maybe Levis was not savable. Maybe he was unsalvageable. But Callahan did not do a good job last year with Will Levis. He didn't do a good job. Again, that's like the whole Joe Burrow thing of, well, he's got the experience with Joe Burrow. Yeah, that was last year. That was last year that we were saying, well, he's going to turn Will Levis into Joe Burrow. So now I don't, no. You got to prove to me you got the chops. And I don't think he does. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he does have it, but I'm not sure. And so I think in Indianapolis, you got a play caller who's got his head buried in his play sheet and isn't really paying attention to the real important development aspects of the young quarterback. And I think it's failed both Steichen, and I think he's going to get fired over it. It's failed both Steichen and Richardson. And then on the other hand, we had the Mike Mularkey experience, not a sexy hire, but at the same time, well, I think the guy and his old coaches, I think they kind of knew what they were doing. I think they kind of knew. And they just didn't get enough respect. And that's a problem I have with Brian Callahan is, you know, like, it's not so much the plays and the scheme and the play calls and everything else, which, again, I still have a little bit of an issue with, but it's the everyday stuff. It's the everyday, hey, we're going to talk to Cam about this. Hey, we're going to talk to Cam about that. Hey, we're going to manage this for Cam. Hey, we're going to manage that for Cam. And sometimes you can hold a guy's hand and he just can't do it. And sometimes, and this is what I believe with Burrow, I believe that this is the way for Burrow and Peyton Manning, which is it didn't matter who was coaching him. Brian Callahan, Zach Taylor, Jim Morris Sr., Tony Dungy, Jared Stillman, it does not matter. Rich Kotite could have coached them, and it wouldn't have mattered. Manning and Burrow would have been great. But that's a really high bar. And again, I mean this with all due respect to Cam. But, like, I don't think Cam is Burrow or Manning. So that coaching thing, I think it's important. And I think Lawrence and Richardson, I think, are examples of, hey, you got to help this young fella out. You can't just put him out there and say, all right, Johnny, here you go, and expect results. It's not fair. 615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in on the phone, so that's what we're going to do next. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman & Company on 102.5 and 106 through the game.
These organizations are ultimately, when you want to go, you know, God, you know, Ryan Leaf was a bust. And I'm like, well, it sure seems like the San Diego Chargers were. You know, they're the ones that drafted me second overall. What the hell were they thinking? You know? I didn't draft myself. You know, if I could have had a say where I went, I would have went to Pittsburgh. You know, that's an organization where you go to, you're going to have success because they have consistency. They're built to win. They've done it for decades. So, you know, I do put a lot of onus. I think there's probably 8 to 10 programs in the entire NFL that from top to bottom are set to be successful in this league. And that's a hard thing to do with how, you know, how they've tried to make and legitimize every team in the league. But I really do. I think there's 8 to 10 teams that have longevity for being great programs in this league.
There you go. That was Ryan Leaf. So, again, I'm sure people say, oh, Ryan Leaf, he sucked. Right. Yes, exactly. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, Chad Brinker does not have any credibility in my eyes. We have a rookie GM, and that means nothing to me. This organization is trash. I'm not going to knock it. I mean, I do like some of the things Borgonzi's done. I'm not going to drop my pants after day three of the draft like a lot of you all did. But at the same time, I do think the lack of experience with Brinker, Borgonzi, Callahan, I do think Denard Wilson, Holtz, it's alarming. And, I mean, the lack of experience on the coaching staff. Now, Bones Fossil and Mike McCoy do help in terms of experience on the coaching staff, but I absolutely worry about the experience of the coaching staff. Josh says, Richardson would have sucked no matter what. You like to rub it in someone's face when they are wrong, but you can't take it when you are. Just digging for reasons why you're not wrong, though you were. I'll just say this. Again, when it came to drafting Anthony Richardson, I think I was high off the Mahomes improvement and the Allen improvement, how much better they got from where they were drafted. Remember, Josh Allen was the third quarterback in his class, and Mahomes was second behind Mitch Trubisky. And I had Rick Spielman was sitting there saying, like, hey, those guys, when we evaluated them coming out, they had holes in their game. And Andy Reid and Brian Daboll deserve the credit for fixing the holes in their game. And this is the case with a lot of coaches, which is you take a guy that throws 100 miles an hour, but he can't throw a strike. And there's a pitching coach out there that says, I can coach him. And so with Richardson, I knew what the Titans had done with McNair in the 90s. I knew what had happened with Mahomes sitting the bench. And I said, I'm going to take a shot on this raw talent that you can't just get anywhere else, but you've got to develop it properly. And when Indy took him, I said it that night. I said the one hope is that they screw him up the way they screwed up Andrew Luck. And guess what? Anthony Richardson got hurt right away. Now, TD texted me and was like, hey, Richardson started 12 games in college. You know, Cam has started something like 55 in college. And that is a difference. Make no mistake about it. What I would say, though, is if you sit Cam on the bench and you let him watch for a little bit, and I'm not saying that he has to sit for the whole year. I wouldn't sit him for the whole year. I told you guys, if I drafted Anthony Richardson, it's right to the podium, and I'm saying Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback. I would not have said that the day that they drafted Cam. Now, I would have given everybody the impression that it is possible that Brandon Allen is going to be the starting quarterback of this football team. And there are a lot of you that would not have liked that. But the reason being for me with all these guys is I just believe that if you sit a quarterback, you don't really lose anything other than maybe the game, so on and so forth. But if you play a quarterback before he's ready, you lose a lot. And that's toothpaste I don't think you can put back in the tube. That's where I'm cautious. Again, I do not want to put Cam in a situation to where he is going to look back and he's going to say, oh, man, I wish I had sat the bench because I wasn't ready. I didn't know better. How many times in your life do you look back and say, man, I wish I knew better? There are a lot of things in my life I look back on and I'm like, man, I wish I knew better. And that's the tough part. One texter says, I promise you we Trevor Lawrence to Will Levis and we'll do the same to Cam Ward. You know, that's the thing is, again, with these young guys, and I said this to TD when he was on, and I said, you know, I've just decided this fan base, whomever they draft, the Titan fans are going to love it no matter what. Remember Pooh Pooh Johnson? When we didn't know who the Titans quarterback was going to be, before everybody had hopped aboard the go get Cam Ward train, when we all thought the quarterbacks in this class stunk and we thought they were going to trade the pick and we were talking Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, and I brought up Pooh Pooh Johnson. And I said, Pooh Pooh Johnson is a random mythological quarterback. But if the Titans signed Pooh Pooh Johnson, at least 40 to 50% of you would try to tell me that I'm crazy for not getting behind Pooh Pooh Johnson. The people that hated Sam Darnold, if they had gone the Sam Darnold path, they would have been like, I mean, Sam Darnold, when he finally had good coaching, figured it out. Sam Darnold, instead of it went from, well, Minnesota, he had Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell. It would have been Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell went 7-10 the year before Sam Darnold showed up, and he doubled their win total. But, again, that's just based upon the decision the Titans make. Whereas I am very cautious with young quarterbacks because I saw what happened to Vince Young, and I still think Vince Young, I don't think that Jake Locker could have ever been good. Let me just put that out there. I think Jake Locker sucked. I don't think Jake Locker had the right temperament, personality, and I'm sure the coaching didn't help, but I don't think Bill Walsh could have coached up Jake Locker. With Mariota, I think there was something there early on. I'm not sure Mariota had the personality to really grab the bull by the horns, which I think a young quarterback has to do. With Levis, I mean, I hate to say it, like, I thought there was a chance Levis could have been good, but at the same time, like, Levis had got a lot of problems. Vince Young's the one who I look back on and I'm like, man, what could have been? Vince Young was so good. He was so good in college. He got to the pros. And yes, he wasn't the most accurate passer in the world, but neither was Lamar Jackson. Neither was Cam Newton. And yet, Jeff Fisher, for whatever reason, I feel like he and Vince went sideways. And Floyd Reese wasn't here to see it every day anymore. And Steve Underwood didn't know what he was looking for. And Bud Adams wasn't here. And if they had gotten rid of Jeff Fisher and had gotten a coach in here that had embraced Vince Young, I think there's a chance Vince could have been special. I really think so. Well, Vince didn't work hard, and Vince didn't. I mean, Vince must have done something right to be so good at Texas. My guess is Vince felt disrespected by Jeff Fisher, and Vince didn't want to work hard for Jeff Fisher, couldn't do it. Could be wrong. But again, I absolutely think the Titans screwed him up. And I think Vince could have been awesome. Because Vince was great when he entered the league. So I am worried about Trevor Lawrence-ing these quarterbacks. If your team had drafted Lawrence, if your team had drafted Richardson, you would have said, oh, yes, yes, we're going to turn him into a star. And no disrespect, but Trevor Lawrence is further along than Cam Ward was. But I do have a hard time when it comes to the Vince Young thing, man. Like, he could have been. Whew. Ryan in Nashville says, you're completely right, Jared. Cam should sit for a year instead of being thrown to the Wolves. Great example is Caleb Williams last year with the Bears. Look how nervous and unprepared he was. The Titans beat the Bears week one if it wasn't for the screw-ups. So I actually think Caleb Williams had an okay rookie year. Now, I don't like Caleb Williams, and I don't know if he's a leader. You know, I just don't know if Caleb Williams takes the game seriously enough to be a star. But Caleb Williams was in a bad spot. And you look at Caleb's stats, they weren't bad. Now, I didn't watch Caleb on a week-in, week-out basis, and I thought they should have fired the coach before Caleb even got there. But when I think about sitting, I again, think about these guys that get out there, and it's the game's too fast, they're not ready. The team in front of them is too bad, and it just beats their confidence in like a pulp. Just like Sam Darnold. You know, I still, you guys know I like Sam Darnold, and I feel justified in my Sam Darnold respect because this time last year when J.J. McCarthy busted his knee, I said, look, I'm all in on Sam. And if he sucks, I'll be the first to put my hand up there. But I think what I've seen out of Sam Darnold, knowing that he's going to play, with a good coach and with good receivers, I think he's going to be good. And the guy won 14 games and garnered MVP votes. And the reason I bring that up is I think that one Monday Night Football moment in which NFL film should have never approved ESPN using that sideline microphone with the I'm seeing ghosts out there. NFL Films has the right to thumbs up, thumbs down any mic'd up content during the game. NFL Films should have thumbs down that one. I think they porked Sam Darnold with that. But Sam Darnold was proof to me that when you take a guy who's not ready and you throw him out there in New York with Adam Gase as the coach with no receivers, he's going to look like a bust. And I hate to say it, but look at your team. It ain't good. Look at your coach. Are you sure he's good? And I have a hard time getting on that side of it to oh, yeah, no, this will be fine. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company. 1025, 1063 the game.
Maybe a little bit of the misnomer with the draft is that these players can come in and all of a sudden become this great professional player before they've really had the training and the development. And it was rare for quite a while for rookie quarterbacks to come in and play. Maybe if you're the first overall pick. But not if you're a second rounder, a third rounder, you had a chance to be groomed. Well, we're not allowing them to do that much anymore. Now we're throwing them out there. Let's see what you can do. And it's a really challenging thing. If I was a young quarterback in this day and age to go out there with the pressure of the agents and the families, the schools, the social media, the fans, the coaches, the owner. How do these kids live up to that? I think it's a real challenge for these young quarterbacks. Hopefully they go into a system that can embrace them, that can fit and mold who they are. Hopefully they have coaches around them that can develop them in the best possible way.
There you go. That was Tom Brady. So for everybody out there, Titans Twitter's all mad because I said, are we sure? Like, are we sure that Cam Ward's ready to start right away? And Titans Twitter's all mad. You're so stupid, Jared. Again, I want you to think about this. The Titans are terrible. They won 3 games last year. The only meaningful additions they made to their team are Dan Moore Jr., a left tackle who is probably at best an average left tackle, Tyler Lockett, an old pawpaw who's aging at wide receiver. They cut their leading sacker, Harold Landry, from a year ago. Their number one corner is facing charges for an alleged shooting. I mean, you think Cam Ward, with zero NFL experience, is going to be dropped right in with a head coach who is 3-14, with a defensive coordinator who thinks spelling out Titans is going to make a difference one way or another? You think that Cam Ward is so good that you're just going to drop him in there and he's going to be Mahomes? He doesn't have Mahomes' coach. He doesn't have Mahomes' receivers. He doesn't have Mahomes' tight end. He doesn't have any of that. Mahomes sat the bench for a year. I guess Cam's too good. You know, Mahomes, he's not good enough. But Cam, he's good enough. Here's Tom Brady saying, when I was coming up, you didn't play right away. And you guys are like, you guys don't get it. You tell that to Tom Brady then. You apparently know more than Tom Brady. Which is so ridiculous. And here's another one that's ridiculous. Texter says, all the guys you're talking about sat behind competent quarterbacks, which the Titans do not have. Brett Favre sat behind the Magic Man, Dan Majakowski. Whoa! He's headed to Canton. What are you talking about? Josh Allen sat for a game behind Nathan Peterman. Whoa! Steve McNair sat behind Chris Chandler. It's fine if Brandon Allen plays quarterback. It's fine. It's just this immediate. You guys want it now. You want now. The infrastructure is not in place for you to be successful right now. So I'm saying let's be patient and let's not let the toothpaste out of the tube. And you people are like, no, he's Mahomes. We need to win right away. Do you? Do you expect to win right away? One texter says, all the quarterbacks you're talking about sat behind good quarterback. Again, Nathan Peterman, Dan Majakowski. Do I think the Titans should have gotten a better quarterback than Brandon Allen? Yeah, I do. I think the Titans should have been in on Daniel Jones. I think the Titans should have been in on one of those guys, even if they were going to draft Cam. Do I want to watch Brandon Allen play quarterback? No. But I know they're not going to win week one at Denver anyways. Might as well let Brandon Allen get his teeth kicked in, since it's going to be that way at Denver. One texter said, same thing you said for Darnold could be said for Levis and many more. The only differences are the preconceived notions and personal opinions. So here's, again, how I came to the conclusion that I had with Sam Darnold, which was not the conclusion that I have with Will Levis. I saw Sam Darnold play well in 2022, and everybody just pretends that didn't happen. And I'm like, he was 4-2 as a starter with a higher QBR than Aaron Rodgers. He and DJ Moore almost single-handedly got Carolina back into the playoff race. Like, Sam Darnold was good in 2022. And that was a team that Baker Mayfield, who also is a decent quarterback, that is a team that Baker Mayfield did nothing with. Sam was 4-2. Baker was 1-5. So I felt strongly about what I saw, at the end of 2022. Plus, he spent a year with Kyle Shanahan. I think that'd make you better. And so I believe there was something there. But nobody else saw 2022 because nobody else was watching Carolina Panther football. And regardless, I mean, I was right about Darnold. It's funny because, like, this Titans Twitter last week was like, you think Sam Darnold's good? I'm like, dude, Sam Darnold just won 14 games. How many years will it take Cam to win 14 games? Skyler says, sit Cam for at least 2 weeks and agreed about Callahan. He needs to show he can handle with the play calls, tempo, time management, etc. And I'm sick and tired of him having a nervous-ass look on his face all the time on the sidelines. I would sit Cam for the first 2 weeks for sure. Let's let Jared Verse get past us. Let's let the Denver game on the road get past us. And then if you want to put Cam out there and you think he's ready, go ahead and do it. NBA Finals tonight, I'm taking OKC to win the title. That's going to do it for us. Stillman and Company, we are out of here. We'll see you all Monday at 2.